for me, it was important to look at Benjamin's travel as a sort of a pilgrimage, and pilgrimage where in the beginning he knows the goal, his beloved, and his ideology, but in the end it turns out that there is no goal, and the beloved is never there, and the ideology is never there, so it becomes a very Jewish experience of the pilgrimage to the desolate site, the pilgrimage of the desolate site of the Second Temple. The writings of this pilgrimage are embodied in Jewish culture, and of course Benjamin was familiar with it. And this idea of the of Moscow as a space without the spiritual and ideological center, which makes it so sort of up to date, and the descriptions of the desolate churches, which sometimes are simply closed, sometimes turned into the museums, and the empty sky, and this makes his experience of the city very bodily. He experiences it with his walking, with his sense of the buildings, with his sense of the social fabric. And I didn't comment much of the what was particularly important for me in reading this diary today. Is exactly, and what strikes me really, is exactly this description of the social fabric, social reality torn apart. In Benjamin's diary, it's very important, this notion of have-beens and the notions of the poor. And we can say that most of the descriptions of Moscow of 1920s mention poor. And mentioned the hunger, people who are in hunger. But Benjamin does it the way that nobody else really does, because he describes them, and he describes the fact that nobody has pity on them. Nobody has pity because Soviet state is a state of justice. And so obviously if they became poor, then it's something because they couldn't make it. And if they couldn't make it, then they are enemies. And of course, from history, we know that the whole groups of social groups of people, which included the whole group of the former aristocrats, the whole group of peasants who refused to go to the kolkhoz, the whole group of priests and believers were excluded. They were excluded from rights. They were excluded from later. They were excluded from the possibility to get food when the food was distributed, yes, and they were excluded from that. And then, of course, it's not only that, but he also describes the intellectuals and the intellectuals who struggle with each other. And these theater performances, which are continued by sort of a debates and very hot debates, and you see that the second step after the debates would be that there would be some sort of persecution. And we know that, you know, 5 years past, there would be this persecution. Which brings me to another point, is that there is a question when you read this diary: whom do you identify yourself with? Because it's because, of course, it's a generation of our grandfathers, grand-grandfathers, which is very close to us. And it's not an easy question because there is no straight answer. To give a straight answer, you have to go through a very painful procedure of the collective historical identity, of going through sort of the transformation of historical identity. And we see that there is something which never happened in Russia. And Russia doesn't know whom to identify with. Because, well, for obvious reason, I mean, I don't have to comment on that. Where are we there? We don't know. We don't know. And it's not a question that, you know, we say, oh, I'm with the poor. No, you're not. Some of us obviously are, some of us are not. And it's this struggle with the social reality torn apart that we see now. And the social reality torn apart is something which is constantly sort of witnessed and felt, but never really articulated. We see the segregation in our everyday life, in the Facebook life. And of course, again, continuing what Ksenia said, is that we see how Crimean crisis really, really brought it forward. And I think this, of course, makes Benjamin Diary so painful to read. And it's much more easy to speak about all other aspects, because really it's a wonderful literature. It's amazing literature, and there are so many details. But it's very hard to face this torn apart social reality, which we're very much here part of today, which I think brings this diary and our discussion as really one of the sort of gemstones of the Biennale which is going on in Moscow now. And look what is going on. We have this exhibition where we were present yesterday, and we have the amazing exhibition at MAM, at the Museum of Multimedia Art Museum on Ostoženka, where you really have the very political statements which are there, like Mikhail Rovner project of transition, of this drama of a person who is in this world and he is a stranger in this world, and etc., etc., etc. And the same project where we were yesterday. Again, very political, very topical, very controversial. Do you see many people there? Do you see the discussions in the Facebook? Do you read articles which actually discuss this art as political, as terribly political? No. No.
Invisible, absolutely invisible.
Absolutely invisible. Absolutely invisible. And it's all too easy to say that, well, look, we're afraid of writing about it. We're afraid of writing about it. It's impossible. It's not true. Writing about art.
The exhibition is in Manege.
You're writing about art. Who would say a word? You don't mention Putin there, of course. You mention the society. So it's this sort of illness of the society and this drama of the society, which Benjamin witnesses at that time.
Like repressed feeling of guilt, you mean, right?
Well, yes.
Which provokes this silence.
Yes, 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 because we can't identify ourselves. We don't understand where do we belong to. This drama of historical memory. Because we see what's going on, for example, we know that one of the main examples is, of course, Germany, who went through this trauma after the World War, and they managed to formulate what was Hitler for them. We now see it happening to Poland. Sort of these two films, Ida, the film of last year, and the
Neighbors, the book Neighbors.
Yes, and now there is the festival of the Polish Children's Theatre, which starts, I think, today, and they brought something about the children's Holocaust. You know, they actually made a performance devoted to children's Holocaust in Poland, and they brought it to Moscow. Do you see anything like that here? Anything? No. No, everything to do with Gulag is still a very, very touchy thing. And I think that this diary of Benjamin is really a book to read. A book to read. And you can make it sound extremely political, extremely up-to-date. And, of course, our feeling of the... I appreciate very much that I'm part... that I, as an art historian, I'm part of the architectural discussion. Because, of course, it is also about our feeling of the city. What do we wait from this sort of fabric of the city? And should history be read through the fabric of the city? How should it be sort of memorialized? What should be done with it? Because Benjamin's example is, of course, this amazing sort of vivid picture of the architecture resonating and being, you know, showing the consequences of the revolution, of this huge transition.